Whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This, I believe, is one of the most amazing statements in the Word of God. Let not your heart be troubled. Amazing because of when the Lord said it. Within the span of less than 24 hours, the Lord Jesus was going to meet with his disciples. He said, concerning the Passover supper, with great desire, if I desire to eat this supper with thee, before I suffer. And in less than 24 hours, the Lord Jesus was to give this, what is called the upper room discourse. He was to be nailed to a cross after first being tried. Nailed to the cross, taken down from the cross, and put in the tomb within the span of less than 24 hours. And then he says, let not your heart be troubled. It's amazing because when you consider these disciples, they had every reason in the world to have heart trouble. You read in Luke's gospel that the Lord Jesus had just instituted on this occasion the remembrance feast. He'd taken a loaf of bread into his hands and he'd broke it and he said, this is my body which is given for you. And then he took a cup after supper saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood which is shed for you. And Luke tells us of something that was taking place right after that. Here are these disciples had been with the Lord for 3.5 years. They'd seen all the mighty miracles that he did. They'd heard all the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And what do you think they're talking about? They're talking about who's going to be the big shot. They were quarreling among themselves. Who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? If there's anybody that should have had heart trouble, those brethren should have had heart trouble. All they were thinking about was themselves. What place am I going to have in the kingdom? Where do I fit in? Totally unconcerned by what he had said. This is my body, which is given for you. Shortly thereafter, he was to bear our sins in his own body on the tree, and all they could think about was me. What I'm going to, place I'm going to fulfill. And the Lord Jesus said, you remember, and this I think should have humbled them. I don't know if it did, but it should have humbled them. And I'm paraphrasing this. He said, when you go into a restaurant to order a meal, the waiter comes and he brings you the meal. Who's the big shot? The man that orders the meal and pays for it? Or the waiter that brings the meal to serve? And he said, the answer to that is very obvious. The one that orders the meal and pays for it, he's the big shot. But then he said, I am among you as one that serves, because I'm the waiter at the table. I think about that time they should have felt about that small. I'm among you as one that serves. Mark records his words, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. He didn't come into this world to be served, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. It's amazing how slow we are to learn that if we're going to be like Christ, we're in this world to be service, of service. We're not here to be served. We're here to serve. 3 times over, the Lord Jesus said it. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. But whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your slave. We read in the Philippian epistle that let this mind be in you. That's the way we should be, he said. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a slave. Isn't that interesting? Seekest thou great things for thyself? The scripture says, don't seek great things for yourself. The greatest sought the lowest place. It's amazing that they shouldn't have had heart trouble. And yet the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. They could have had heart trouble for another reason. Peter said, Lord, when you look around these disciples, just remember I'm number one. Though all men deny thee, yet will I not deny thee. And the verse before those words, let not your heart be troubled, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, verily, verily, I say unto you, before the cock crow, you're going to deny me three times. You think Peter will believe that? In less than 24 hours, he was going to say, I don't know him. I don't know him. And he was the one to speak to put his hand on the Bible and to swear. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but this? I swear I don't know him. Amazing. And this wasn't one of the hangers-on. He was the outstanding apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord selected him to be the apostle to the Jewish people, to the circumcision, as Paul was to the uncircumcision, to the Gentile. Let not your heart be troubled. Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. That's the reason why he didn't need to have heart trouble. Not because of what he was. And then, you remember, there was Judas. He sold the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Mary Magdalene, by Judas' own estimate, spent 10 times as much for that alabaster box of ointment, which he poured on his feet. It was Judas that led. He said, why was this waste of the ointment made? And John tells us it was not because he cared for the poor. Why wasn't it sold and given to the poor, he said? Not because he cared for the poor, but John tells us because he was a thief. And he took what was put in the offering that was meant for the Lord, and he stole it out of the bottle. Is it possible that for us today to have such a love for money that we're willing to sell Christ? Has anybody ever betrayed him because of money? The Bible tells us the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It doesn't say everything that is done is because of money. Everything that's wrong is done because of money. But it does say that there's no sin that man has ever committed that has not been done for money. People have murdered for money. People have stolen for money. People have cheated for money. Judas. And yet, the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. In fact, in this same chapter, he says it twice over. First here, and then he says in the 27th verse of this chapter, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It wasn't because of what they were. That was the reason for their not having trouble. Well, because of what he was. You know, we have a great tendency, and I don't know about you, but I get sort of sick and tired of hearing people tell me how much they love the Lord Jesus. John never says how much he loves the Lord Jesus, but he says five times over, he's the disciple whom Jesus loved. And we look sometimes at what we do and what we say and what we think rather than what he has done and who he is. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, in this lovely passage, the Lord gives us three reasons why we shouldn't have heart trouble. And none of them are because of what we are. And what we have done, and what we will do. It's all because of what he has done, and what he is doing, and what he will do. And he would have us to concentrate on that. I think these three men illustrate to us the three great enemies that we have to face. First of all, we have to face the world, and you know, the world's idea is, what can I get? Self-seeking. What's in it for me? And the trouble with Peter was self-confidence. That's the flesh. We have the flesh to contend with us, every one of us. You see that self-confidence in a child from its earliest days. I can do it. Let me do it. You know? Trusting in self. And the Bible says, if you put your trust in what you can do and are, you're an absolute fool. It says, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. When you put confidence in self, that's what Peter did. He says, listen here. These other fellows, yes, but not me. Not me. And you know, we tend to rely on ourselves, but you remember the verse, I got a spanking for not saying this verse when I was a kid, and I still remember it. My dad wanted to show me off, and I wouldn't say the verse. And so things got worse for me as a result. But anyway, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That was the verse. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord. Don't put any trust in yourself. You can't trust yourself, and I can't trust myself as far as I can throw me. How many times in your life you've said, I'm going to do this, and you didn't do it? Man's promises don't mean a thing, as I was saying last week. Man promises, but his performance doesn't mean too much. Just do it. You don't need a promise. Just do it. God is not looking for our promises. He's looking for our obedience. Peter. The Lord Jesus said to him, Satan hath desired to have the sifting as wheat. He says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. He says, you're going to fail. He says, the spirit indeed is willing. But the flesh is weak. The problem is, if you lean on an arm of flesh, it's going to let you down. But trust in the Lord and lean not on thine understanding, the flesh. And then there's the problem with the devil. You know, it wasn't Judas' idea to betray the Lord. It says, Satan entered into Judas. But he was a ready target because he had such a love for money. You know, he thought to himself, you know, I'll just betray him and I'll get that 30 piece of silver. No one will ever be the wiser. He'll just walk away. He's done it. I've seen him do it many times. He'll just walk away and I'll have 30 pieces of silver in my pocket. But it didn't work out as he surmised. Only of this man did the Lord Jesus say, they were good. For this man that had never been born. But the Lord Jesus made three statements. First of all, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And he did. You know where he went? All the way to Calvary. He went for you and he went for me. He wasn't speaking about, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. He wasn't going up into heaven to build some mansion for you to, you know, some of the choruses and the hymns that they sing, but they're all baloney. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I'm not building anything. They're there. But I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to make it possible for you to be there. I've got a little thing hanging on the front. Our kids bought it out of the Dade County Youth Parade with a little sign. And it says this. There's no place anywhere near this place like this place. So this must be the place. I saw that for the first time on a shop at Man of War Key. And when I saw it, I thought of a hymn that we sang. Oh, cross of Christ, oh, glorious tree, what place can be compared with thee? Where God's own Son was crucified and for our sins a ransom died. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we're healed. I go to prepare a place for you. You remember way back in the Old Testament, God said to Abraham, and Abraham, He says, I want you to take your son, the only son whom you love, and offer him up for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And it says, Abraham started out on this journey 3 days, and he said he saw the place afar off. And you know, I don't know if Abraham realized what he saw, but he saw the very place where the Lord Jesus, 2,000 years later, was to be crucified. He saw the place far off. He probably didn't realize what he said. In answer to Isaac's question, he says, here's the fire, here's the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. That the lamb that God would be provided would be God himself. Manifest in flesh. The great Creator became my Savior. And all God's fullness dwelleth in Him. Ah, says the Apostle, great is the mystery of Godness. God was manifest in flesh. But what a stoop. He took all the way from heaven's glory. He went to the cross of shame. There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. And the path to the cross, he was willing to tread, all the sins of my life to forgive. They are nailed to the cross. They are nailed to the cross. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. With what anguish and loss, Jesus went to the cross. He carried my sin. Ah, says the Apostle, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Oh, what a load was thine to bear alone in that dark hour. Our sins, all their terror there, God's wrath, and Satan's power. We sing the storm that bowed thy blessed head is hushed forever now. And rest divine is ours instead, whilst glory crowns thy brow. I go to prepare a place for you. And happy indeed is every soul who can say in truth the words which Mary Bowley Peters wrote, a lady who died in her 40s, wrote many of our hymns. She wrote most of the hymns in our little flock hymn book, with the exception of James G. Deck. She wrote, "On the Lamb my soul is resting. What is love no tongue can say. All my sins, so great, so many, in His blood are washed away. Sweetest rest and peace have filled me. Sweeter praise than tongue can tell. God is satisfied with Jesus. I am satisfied as well. Conscience now no more condemns me. For His own most precious blood, once for all, has washed and cleansed me. Cleansed me in the eyes of God." Wonderful thing to know that for yourself. And God wants all of us to believe the message of the gospel. I go to prepare a place for you. That takes care of all the past. What about the present, Lord? Let me tell you about the present. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Once you're a child of God, and we become children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus said to Mary Magdalene, "Go tell my brethren, we're in the same family, go tell my brethren that I ascend unto my Father and your Father." God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." We have a Father who cares for us. And the Lord Jesus, throughout this section of John's Gospel, speaks of how much we are loved of the Father. And He says, you know, He says, I'm giving you a passport. You know, sometimes you go to a place and you don't know anybody there. And somebody will say, "Well, just tell them that I sent you." And they say, "Well, you know, John Brown said." "Oh, John Brown sent you. Okay, come on in." You know, it pays to know somebody. In fact, we can't come to the Lord in our own name. Our name doesn't mean anything to Him. But He says, "Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name." Doesn't mean you can ask for a new boat or a new car. "Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name." Suppose you go away from your business and you say, "Well, listen, John, while I'm away, I'll go down to the bank and I'll get the authority for you to sign checks in my absence." And so you go away to Israel on a trip, say about 3 weeks. And while you're gone, the fellow looks at us and says, "Hey, we got a check here for about $100,000 in the bank. I think I'd like a new car. That's $20,000. And he writes a check. You come back and he's written about $70,000 or $80,000. You say, "Now, wait a minute. When I authorized you to sign the checks in my name, that was for the interest of the firm, not for your own personal interest. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, believing, he shall receive. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." But every child of God has been given the authority of the Lord Jesus to come to the Father and pray in His name. You know, that's what we generally say at the close of our hymns. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus, or in the Savior's name, or in His name. And that's right. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. And what a wonderful thing it is. We have access into the presence of God in His name. But He not only takes care of the past and the present, all our life long, we have the privilege of coming to the Father in His name. And that's why we shouldn't have any heart trouble. Why do you have heart trouble? Why should you have heart trouble if you know you can come to the Father at any time in His name? And the Lord Jesus said, "The Father Himself loveth you." Not only the Son loves, says the Father loves you. Who doesn't love children in His family? And we're children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So the Father loves us, and we can come in the confidence that we're loved in Him. And James tells us, you remember, says, "You have not because you ask not." The main reason is that you haven't come in His name. How can you expect answers if you don't ask? The Lord Jesus gave us a simple formula. It's an acrostic. A-S-K. You know what that spells? Ask, right? He says this. Ask, and you shall receive. That's the A. Seek, and you shall find. That's the S. The K. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, not some, everyone that asketh receiveth, and everyone that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. That's a wonderful thing. We got this passport into the presence of the Holy God on the basis of the Lord's own promise, and it takes care of all our life. You know, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me some of the days of my life. You remember that? That's the American reverse version. That's not what the Bible says. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of his life. His goodness because of what he is. His mercy because of what I am. I need mercy all the time. But goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There are some days that are glad days, some days sad days, some days when everything seems to go wrong. But all the days of my life, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What about the future? I says, let me tell you about the future. I will come again. The Bible says Judas went out and it was night. That was the last they ever saw of him. The last they'll ever see of him. He had been with them for 3.5 years. He had seen all that the Lord had done, all the mighty miracles. He had heard all the gracious words that had proceeded out of his mouth. He had come to the same conclusion that the other apostles had come. John was there and he says, he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Could you be with anybody for 3.5 years and come up with that conclusion? There's no sin in him? They did. And Peter says, he did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. There were two men that had accompanied with the Lord for 3.5 years. And what does Judas have to say? He says, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. But he turned his back on the Savior, and went out into eternal darkness, never to return. But the Lord Jesus says, you know, I'm going away, but I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Let not your heart in trouble. Peter, how do you feel? Lord, I feel terrible. Do you love me? Lord, it doesn't look like it, does it? But you know all things. You know that I love you. Can you imagine how Peter must have felt? It says when he saw the Lord Jesus, the tears ran down his cheeks. He wept bitterly. Let not your heart be troubled. Peter had every reason troubled if he looked at himself. And we have every reason to be troubled if we look at ourselves, because there isn't a week that goes by that you have not done and said things that you're sorry you said and wish you hadn't said. And one of the things that I like about the meeting that follows this, when we come to remember the Lord Jesus, to me, it does two very wonderful things. It reminds me of how great a sinner, not I was, but how great a sinner I am. It reminds me of how great a Savior I have. And it's not because of me. Our love is oft times low. Our joy still ebbs and flows. But peace with Him remains the same. No change, Jehovah knows. We change. He changes not. Our Christ can never die. His love, not ours, not ours, not ours, the resting place. We on His truth rely. And the more we look at ourselves, if we look at ourselves honestly, the more we will be disappointed. And the more we look away from ourselves and look at Him, He's the solution to our trouble. You know, if you go to the doctor and you look at your troubles, that's not going to make you well. If he's a good doctor, and I'm assuming he's a good doctor, some of them aren't, but if he's a good doctor, you look to him for the cure of your problem. And the more you're occupied with your problems before you go to the doctor, the less likely you're to be cured. And the more we look at the troubles in ourselves, in our sins, in our failure, in our sicknesses, and all the rest of it, the more discouraged we'll be. And we need to look away at Christ. It says, husband, love your wife even as Christ loved the church. Look at his love for the church, and that'll help you to love your wife. The answer to our problems is in him. And we need to learn the lesson. The secret of not having heart trouble is to look to the one who knows how to cure heart trouble. And how wonderful it is. How sweet a way from self to flee and shelter in our Savior. Oh, precious grace, with him's our place in God's eternal favor. Jesus, the goal before our soul, the one we know in glory while we're on earth. Let's look at his worth to save one's sweetest story. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, it's so easy to be occupied with ourselves. I know a brother, a dear brother, and whenever he speaks about love for Christ, he speaks of his love for Christ. Whenever he speaks about faithfulness in prayer, he speaks of his faithfulness in prayer. And it's so easy to do good things and yet somehow get away from the right motive. And we need to learn away from ourselves. As the hymn says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. One of our hymns says, oh, fix our earnest gaze, so holy, Lord, on thee, that with thy beauty occupied we elsewhere none may see. The way to get away from ourselves, and we all have this problem to contend with, because we've got self to contend with all of our life. We've got the world to contend with. We've got the devil to contend with. And the Lord says, forget about the devil. Forget about the world. Forget about the flesh. He says, look to me. Let not your heart be troubled. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Shall we pray? Our Father, we're thankful for this simple yet vital lesson for all of us. And we confess before thee how slow we are to learn, how easily we become occupied with our sayings and doings and thinkings. Help us to be occupied with thee, as we sometimes sing, occupied with thee, Lord Jesus, I would be, finding joy and satisfaction all in thee. Thou the nearest and the dearest unto me. How we thank thee, our God, that thou in thy gracious love didst send thy Son to the world, so we might come to know him, whom to know is life eternal. We're thankful for the example that he has left us. We pray that we may hear his words say to us today, follow me. I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the bread of life. He which eateth of me shall never hunger and never thirst. Help us, Lord, to see that all that thou dost have to offer to us is found in thy blessed Son. Help us to be occupied with him as we go through this world when there's so many things to distract us and to attract us. Deliver us, we pray thee, from this present evil age that our eyes and minds and hearts may be focused on him who alone is worthy to receive the praise and honor and glory which rightfully belong to him, which is our privilege to bring. Part us with thy blessing and use us throughout this day for the glory of thy beloved Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.